I'm proud. I'm very happy about, you know, the way our programming works, because our festival also falls not exactly in the middle of the year, just before the year, and it's followed by several Indian film festivals in Europe, and in US and Canada. And I've been told by many, many programmers, I run into them in film festivals, I'm at Cannes right now, that they actually look at our program and then they pick films from there, which is it's a nice compliment.
Yeah, yeah.
That was New York Indian Film Festival director Asim Chabra, and this is Epicenter NYC. We connect our communities to news, information, and each other. I'm your host, Amber Castillo. Once again, Epicenter NYC is teaming up with the New York Indian Festival as its community media sponsor. The festival will take place from Friday, May 31st to Sunday, June 2nd at the Village East by Angelica. The New York Indian Film Festival is the oldest film festival of its kind, screening premieres of films made from, of, and about India. The event includes more than just screenings. Expect industry panels, post-screening discussions, award ceremonies, nightly networking parties, red carpet galas, and so much more. This year, Dear Jassy and Mrs. are just a few of the South Asian-themed works that are set to captivate audiences across New York City and around the world. Today, Epicenter publisher S. Mitra Kalita speaks to New York Indian Film Festival director and film critic Asim Chabra about what viewers can expect and the shows you won't want to miss. Before we jump in, a quick message from our team.
Hi, I'm Carolina from the Epicenter NYC team, here to remind you to safeguard your fun, your plans, and your trips. Get vaccinated and don't let illness cancel your joy. It's your season, not flu season, not COVID season. You can schedule your appointment now, and we can help. Send us a note at hello@epicenter-nyc.com or call or text us at 917-818-2690.
Now back to the show. Here's Mitra and Asim.
Asim, it's great to be with you again. I think this is the third podcast Epicenter is recording with you before the Indo-American Film Festival. I think it's, I love the background of this film festival. So could you just catch us up on why we need a New York Indian American Film Festival?
Well, the same reason we need a New York African Film Festival, a New York Greek Film Festival, New York Brazilian Film Festival. Hey, we even have a New York Sikh Film Festival. But it's important to note that the New York Indian Film Festival, the name has changed. This is our 24th year. This was the first Indian South Asian Film Festival in all of North America. It started in 2001, and it's very significant to talk about why it started. After 9/11, people were sort of afraid to step out, basically. And literally speaking, in about 2 months period of time, my former boss, Arun Shivdasani, put together this festival. The mayor of the city at that point, a gentleman by the name of Rudy Giuliani, who's been indicted, he asked arts and other social organizations to basically arrange events so that people come out. And so the New York Indian Film Festival was a response to that. In fact, Tribeca started as a response to that, also the Tribeca Film Festival, except for that was a few months after that. It was in the early 2002. So it started with that purpose, but I think soon we realized that there was great need to, you know, share with them arts, about Indian arts, and films is a big part of the Indian arts. By the way, the organization also, Indo-American Arts Council, also does a music festival, a dance festival, also a literary festival. This is a jewel in the crown. So yeah, I mean, we're bringing quality Indian films from India and the diaspora.
Asim, were you there 24 years ago for the first one?
Yes. Yes. I wasn't. Working for the festival, but I, in fact, one of the best moments I remember is Meera Nair had won the Golden Lion at the Venice Film Festival for Monsoon Wedding. And that was early September, just a few days before the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And we held the closing night film was Monsoon Wedding. So it was the New York premiere of the film. So, yeah.
And what an amazing kind of 24 years, because she'll be with you again this year, correct?
That's true. She's been a big supporter of the festival from the beginning itself, yeah.
When we last talked, Meera Nair had Monsoon Wedding, the musical adaptation,
right,
playing in Brooklyn. And this year, what is she doing for you all?
So there's one of the best known actresses, especially a star of the independent cinema, but also mainstream Bollywood films, but most is an actress by the name of Shabana Azmi. This is Shabana Azmi's 50th year in cinema. In 1974, she acted in a film, and she was in her early 20s at that time, in a film called Ankur. So it's the 50 years of that film also. So, but we are celebrating 50 years of Shabana Azmi's career, and Meera's going to have a conversation with her. Before the conversation, we're going to show a film called Fire, which is a film made in the late 1990s by Deepa Mehta. It starred Shabana Azmi also. And then that'll be followed by the conversation between Shabana and Meera.
Actually, the number of people who've specifically said they want to go for the Shabana Azmi Meera Nair conversation is quite high. So I think that's already getting some buzz.
And the tickets are almost sold out for that. Once Shabana sort of came on board, who would have a conversation with her? I just happened to email Meera, because Meera keeps moving between Delhi and New York and Uganda. And she, responded in less than 12 hours and said, yes, I'd definitely like to do it.
That's great. So I like to ask you, besides Shabana Azmi, what are the must-see films of this festival? You always give us a good taste of, if you're interested in this, you might want to try this film. So tell me about this lineup.
First of all, we have a few films that are focusing on the diaspora. Our opening film is a film called Dear Jesse, which is directed by Tarsem Singh, who, as people know him, he directed The Cell with J-Lo and directed the video for Losing My Religion. This is his first film set in India. It's actually in Punjabi and English. It's a story about an Indian-Canadian young woman from Vancouver who falls in love with a young man in Punjab. So it's a diaspora story. It's based on a true story, actually. I think it's a very, very powerful film. It won the Platform Award at the Toronto Film Festival. So I'm very happy we're doing that. But so that's looking at the Indian-Canadian diaspora. We have a film that's looking at the Indian-Australian diaspora called Sahela, about an LGBTQ story about a man who, after marriage, sort of comes to terms with the fact about his sexuality, he's gay. We have a film called Yellow Bus, which is set in Abu Dhabi, about the Indian working class there in Abu Dhabi. And a tragedy happens. And then we have a film called Paradise, which is set in Sri Lanka. It's about an Indian couple traveling to Sri Lanka during the economic crisis in Sri Lanka last year. And that's a co-production between India and Sri Lanka. So there are a range of stories about Indians in different parts of the world. Then we have a set of films about films and filmmakers. So we have a wonderful documentary called Merchant Ivory, Ismail Merchant and James Ivory. And so it tracks their work from the early 60s, when they made a bunch of films in India, Householder, Shekhpewala, The Guru, and then went on to the US, and then they went on to make some of the best these British dramas, Howard's End, A Room with a View, Remains of the Day, Morris, until Ismail Merchant's death in, I think, 2005, and how James Ivory sort of continues. And James Ivory is, I think, 95, or he's going to be 96 this year, and he's going to be there. So I'll have a conversation with him. So that's a Merchant Ivory film. Then we're showing a documentary about a very well-known Indian Bengali actress and a filmmaker called Aparna Sen, A Journey with Aparna Sen. We have a film about an Assamese film family. It's called The House of the Barwas. And it's, the film looks at the house, but it also looks at various generations of the family. And then we have films in 12 or 13 languages from across India.
So over the last few years, it does feel like a few films from this festival, you've sort of become the preview of what will be nominated from India in the Oscars. So I'm just wondering what you make of that. Over the last few years, while they haven't won, at least this past year, I mean, that seems like quite a feat that India is at least in the documentary category. Am I correct on that?
You know, you're right about that. Unfortunately, So the last 3 years, there have been Indian films in the documentary category nominated, although the last film was Indian-Canadian production. But the two films before that, unfortunately, I couldn't program them because they'd already been shown in New York, and we only show New York premieres. But last year, we showed a film called To Kill a Tiger, which is directed by Indian-Canadian filmmaker Nisha Pahuja, was nominated. So we've had 3 years of Indian films that have been nominated for the Oscars. But many of the films that we select will end up in the national awards. I mean, I'm proud. I'm very happy about, you know, the way our programming works, because our festival also falls not exactly in the middle of the year, just before the year. And it's followed by several Indian film festivals in Europe and in US and Canada. And I've been told by many, many programmers that run into them in film festivals. I'm at Cannes right now, that they actually look at our program. And then they pick films from there, which is it's a nice compliment.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what I love, obviously, I'm in New York, but I love that I'll always run into someone I know. And then I do love what I love that you guys do are these talkbacks after the film, because when you see something, you know, and you and I have talked about this, film criticism focuses so much on like getting the proverbial asses in the seats, right? Like it's the preview or the review. And then you see a film and you're like, I actually want to talk about it now, right?
And you get to hear the director. I mean, in most cases, we have the directors or maybe the producers to talk about the making of the film.
Yeah, I love that. You know this, we end up kind of hosting some talkbacks and other things with other film festivals. And my favorite part is really dissecting the work after the fact, which... Again, I think journalism's a little bit backwards because we focus on the beforehand and like not giving you spoilers. And I'm really looking forward to some of those discussions. Asim, can we just dive a little bit more into the documentary coming out of India right now? Your festival programs quite a bit of it. Do you see this as a surge? Is it that there's an audience for this now? Is there a particular moment that India is reacting to? What is behind this phenomenon?
There's a particular moment, not India, but there's a particular moment where festivals and the academies are reacting to Indian documentaries. For the past 4, 5, 6 years now, there's been at least one documentary from India playing at the Sundance Film Festival. The Sundance is the one that starts the process itself. And these documentaries go through a history. Many of the filmmakers are coming from a particular university in Delhi called the Jamia Millia University. Many of them then go through the route of various documentary labs. There's one in Kolkata, and then across Europe, where they fine-tune their project, and then they get funding also. So we had a film called Writing with Fire. We had a film called All That Breathes. We had a documentary called Against the Tide. This year, there's a documentary called Nocturnes, which is about insects in the jungles of Arunachal Pradesh, which is an Indian state bordering China. And it's basically about moths and insects. Fascinating film. And it's a very calming film. Really, you feel your heartbeat is sort of getting into a normal pace. There's great work coming out of India, but there are also festival programmers who are outside India are picking those films. So this year we have 5 documentaries, by the way. They're very different subjects. And, you know, some of them came our way, some I saw them at some festivals, and I said, you know, we want to show them, bring them to New York. Why not?
So you're sitting in Cannes right now. I just wondered if you have any thoughts on trends that you've been seeing there. What are people talking about? And if there's anything related to Indian cinema that you might bring with you when you're in New York next week?
So this is, well, I can't bring anything from Cannes right now because it's too soon for them to go to any festival. But this has been the biggest year for Indian cinema at Cannes. There are 7 films, including a short film from India. For the first time in 30 years, an Indian film is playing in the main competition. It's by Payal Kapadia, this filmmaker who already won the top documentary award a few years ago, for The Night of Knowing Nothing. We have 2 films in the Uncertain Regard film section. One is called Shameless, which is actually made by a Bulgarian film festival. Filmmaker that is set in India and Nepal, and a film called Santosh, which is set in India. Again, it's an Indian-British filmmaker. I saw this film twice yesterday. I saw it as a screener, and I loved it so much. Late at night at 10:30, there was a screening. I wanted to see it on the big screen. It's called Sister Midnight. It's a very quirky story about a young bride who comes to Mumbai and she's bored and slowly becomes a vampire, a kind of a thing. But it has all this bizarre, very interesting, quirky music. I mean, it has American blues music and it has Cambodian popular music from the 70s, Cambodia, of all the countries. The actress, her name is Radhika Apte. This is the third year that a restored Indian film has been shown at the Cannes Film Festival. So they showed a 48-year-old film called Manthan, which was made by a filmmaker called Shyam Benegal. And there's a 4K restoration of the film by the Film Heritage Foundation. It's actually on June 1st and 2nd weekend. The film is going to play in 70 cities across India. And so it's a great year. Now, I hope to bring perhaps a few of these films to New York, unless they get theatrical release before that. But let's see, you know, it's a great year.
It's amazing. I also just feel like from a press perspective, I'm just seeing, you know, images of, you know, Indians at these openings, which I feel like years have passed where I haven't noticed that. So it might just be that, to your point, there's seven of them. And so there's...
Well, there's a very big Indian presence. There's also the market section and there are... And, you know, A.R. Rahman is here to promote some documentary. He was at the India Pavilion. Aishwarya Rai comes every year and walks on the red carpet. There's all this question about, you know, her dressing is so there. But, and then there are some, you know, some major Indian influencers who are there also. But you see Indians all the time. You walk on you run into Indian filmmakers, Indian festival, you know, Indian journalists. It's fun.
So my last question, Asim, is what do you want New Yorkers to know about the film festival? What do you need from them? What would support you all? What could someone who's listening right now do?
I think what people need to realize is we don't show Bollywood films because most Bollywood films get released in theatrically at the AMC, in Times Square, and a few other theaters. We show strong independent films from different regions of India in different languages that I had mentioned. These are films that may not be able to see them in New York again. So there are independent artistic voices and some very, very powerful stories, some really fun stories. People should buy tickets. Our website is www.nyiff.us, New York Indian Film Festival.us. You know, support the festival, but more important, come and have a good time because, I mean, the festival starts on May 31st, which is a Friday. And I told you about Dear Jassi, which is the Punjabi Canadian film. That's the opening. But then all day Saturday on June 1st and all day Sunday on June 2nd, we have back-to-back films. We have, you know, simultaneously four or five films playing. There are lots of choices, too many choices, which is good.
Congratulations, Asim. We look forward to seeing you. And I know we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
As a proud media sponsor of the New York Indian Film Festival, Epicenter NYC is giving away a limited number of free tickets to our members. We also have a discount code for non-members. It's ALL20 New York IFF for 20% off. We've dropped the code in our show notes as well. If you have questions, send us a note at hello@epicenter-nyc.com. That's all for today. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting us as we do our best to support our community. We couldn't do it without you. For more stories like this, make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at epicenter-nyc.com. Our intro music is All the Pretty Horses by Karavika. You can find more of their music on their website, linked to in our podcast description.